ladies, our deaconesses, for providing, for planning the gift to honor the fathers today. And if any fathers came in a few minutes late and didn't receive that gift, please let us know. Our ushers want to get you one of those to honor. Also, if your husband is not here today, a father, and you want to take one of those, please do as well, or your father. We want to honor. We have plenty. We want to honor all those today. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we continue on in our series in Deuteronomy. And also in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the PowerPoint in the sermon if you find that helpful. Excuse me. We're continuing our series in Deuteronomy, focusing on the Ten Commandments, understanding them as ten principles that God has given to us to live a life that honors and expresses our love to Him, and being able to live a life that God can bless. And just as a brief review, we started several weeks ago when we saw that the main point of this entire passage of the Ten Commandments is this, that the Lord loves us and He's given us His terms of the covenant for us to follow so that we can show we love Him and to follow His ways so that He can bless us. We can enjoy those blessings. And of course, we're looking at these terms of the covenant, these principles, through the lens of the New Covenant. We looked at Hebrews 10:16 several weeks ago, and we saw how the old covenant that God made with His people was broken by His people. And so God had prophesied He would raise up a new covenant, and He has established that new covenant through His Son. And His Son is the mediator of the new covenant through His blood, through His shed blood on the cross. And so we're looking at these principles through the lens of the new covenant, trying to understand what God is saying to us today, some 3,000 to 4,000 years after the terms of these covenants, this covenant has been written. And we looked at last time, we started looking at the third term of the covenant, which we read a few moments ago in verse 11. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And we looked at, briefly, a study on the Lord's name. And we saw from Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, how the Lord revealed His name to Moses. And the Hebrew pronunciation of that is Yahweh. And the word Yahweh, or the name Yahweh, means the eternal, self-existent one. That He is the only one, the only true God, and there is none other. He says to Moses, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." And so He reveals His name to Moses and to the people of Israel, His people. And we looked what the name means. What does a name mean? What does anyone's name mean? We saw that a name, and God's name in particular here in this context, represents His reputation, His character, and His authority. As we fast forward and we move into the New Testament, we find Jesus, who is praying in the garden, the high priestly prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus prays this. He says, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name that You have given Me." And so Jesus is making it very clear that the name that God has, Yahweh, the eternal self-existent one, the I Am, that He has given that name to Jesus. And we know that Jesus, throughout the Scriptures, claimed to be God's Son, equal with God. In fact, in John chapter 8, He actually uses this phrase, "I am." Before Abraham was born, "I am." We know that it is the name above all names. Philippians chapter 2. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess on heaven and earth to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord. Interesting side note, in the Hebrew, the word Lord that we've been looking at, Yahweh, the equivalent in the Greek language of the New Testament, the original language of the New Testament that was written, is the word Kyrie. In fact, those of you who are from a tradition where you use a lot of liturgy, you often will use the actual Greek word Lord, Kyrie, in some of the liturgy. And the Greek word Kyrie is equivalent to the I Am, the Yahweh. And so when it says Jesus is Lord, it is making the equivalence that Jesus and Yahweh are one. And so as we move on today, I want to look at, since last time we looked at ways that we are not to misuse God's name, today I want to look at, rather than misusing His name, we are to proclaim His name. In other words, what are the proper ways that we are to use His name? What's the proper way to proclaim His name? Very interesting, this morning as I was just reviewing my notes and going over this, the Lord led me to Exodus 33:19. And He reminded me of that time when the Lord God, Yahweh, says to Moses, I am going to reveal myself to you. And you remember the time that Moses asks God, he says, God, reveal yourself to me. Let me see your glory. This is a request that no other person to that date had asked. Moses, being loved of God and being a friend of God, a follower of God, was bold enough to say, God, let me see your glory. That's pretty bold. And so God says, well, Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to pass by. And interesting, in Exodus 33:19, He says, and I will proclaim my name to you. He goes on to say, and you will see my glory. Now, you can't see my face, Moses, because anyone who sees my face will die. But I will pass by you, I will cover you with my hand, and as I pass by, you will see my back. And there's anthropomorphic terms going on there. That means using human terms to describe something that is way beyond us. And you know, does God literally have a hand? Well, not necessarily, but spiritually speaking, He covers Moses, so Moses can't see. And the interesting thing is He says, I will proclaim my name to you. In other words, when you are trying to understand God, when we are trying to conceive of Him and have revelation of Him, His name is always involved. Why? Why? Because His name represents His reputation, His character, and His authority. This morning, let's continue looking at how to proclaim His name. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about the name of God. And there are promises that say, if you honor and reverence my name, I will bless you. I'll bless you with success. I'll bless you with peace of mind. I'll bless you with good relationships. Yet even I will bless you with prosperity and health. Now, you have to interpret that properly and scripturally through the New Testament. Because in that day, He was talking to the people of Israel as a nation, not a solidarity of people, and not only only Israel. Now He's talking to us as believers in Christ, as the body of Christ, but we also must remember we live in a fallen world, a sin-cursed world. But there are many blessings, many promises for the person who honors God's name, and God takes it very seriously. We saw that last week, didn't we? He takes it very seriously. He says, don't mess with my name. My name, Yahweh, the Eternal One, the I Am. And so let's look for a few minutes at how we are to proclaim God's name. Number one, we are to glorify God's name continually. Glorify God's name continually. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3. Joy Kofeld is going to read that scripture for us. Kofeld is.
Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell all of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Put that back up there for me, Jim. Glory in His holy name. You ask the question, well, why do we come and have church together? What's it all about? Why is this something that we do? Well, we're obeying the Scriptures. It says, sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of His wonderful acts. And so we review that. We review that by reading the Word. We review that through song. At times we have had vignettes, skits, where it's proclaiming something about the Lord. Sometimes we'll have a video clip of what God is doing in the world. We've seen at times videos or movies of the Passion of Christ. And so we are depicting, we are proclaiming what He's done. Glory, it says, in His name. And so how are we to understand this? What does it mean to glorify God's name? Well, A, it means to give thanks, to praise Him, to glorify Him. In other words, to make His name, or who He is, full of glory. I think God would say it this way. Treat my name, treat me with utmost respect. Use my name carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Don't just let it slip out flippantly, as we are so often prone to do. I said last week about the different phone calls that I get from sales reps. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, it really ticks me off. I get a phone call from someone and they say, hello, Mr. Leonard. You know, and it's like, man, that is not my name. It's Leonard. You know, it sounds weird enough already. Don't make it weirder than it is. And so it just kind of aggravates me when somebody misuses my name. How much more does it aggravate God? Does it tick Him off? When not only do we misuse His name, but we actually use His name as a curse or as something that it was never intended to be. When you say God, when you use His name, mean it. Reserve it for special times. Honor His name. We need to glorify God's name continually. Interesting that the Jewish people, God's people of that day, they began a tradition. Now, I don't agree with the tradition. I think it's wrong. But when God revealed His name to Moses, over time, tradition is really trying to put a fence around things to protect us from offending God. And so the Jewish rabbis put a fence around God's name. They said, don't pronounce His name. Don't speak His name. Don't speak the word Yahweh. Because if you do, it's blasphemy. Sacrilegious. Now, you know, just think with me for a minute. Use some common sanctified sense. God revealed His name to Moses, and He had Moses record that in the Scriptures. Do you think God has a problem with us using His name? It's just common sense. He gave it to us for us to understand, to know, and to glorify. How can you glorify His name if you don't use it? And so, in early parts of the Old Testament, you find people talking about, you know, Yahweh. And later on, unfortunately, they would no longer pronounce it. They would never, no longer utter His name. They would say things like the Holy One or the Almighty and these kinds of things rather than pronounce His name. But I think God would rather have us use His name, but use it properly. And see, glorifying involves not only being careful about using His name or misusing it and glorifying it to make it full of glory. It also means this, B, how I use God's name is not only about how I speak it, but it's about knowing His name and knowing what it means. Knowing His character, knowing His reputation, knowing His promises. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know Your name will trust in You. God wants you not only to use His name properly, He wants you to know what His name means. There are literally hundreds of names of God in the Bible. Did you know that? We lose some of the impact of it because the Old Testament, which is written originally in Hebrew and some Aramaic, has been translated into English, and it's easy for us to miss the impact of it. But God has well over 100 names in the Bible, and each one of them reveal a different aspect of God's character, His love, His justice, His holiness, His promises. The way that you get to know God is you get to know the names of God that are revealed in the Scripture. You see, if you only know one name, then you don't know God very well. I'll give you some examples. In the Old Testament, there are several names that God reveals Himself by. Yahweh Yireh. Now, some songs have been written that pronounce it with the German pronunciation. We talked about that last week. Jehovah Jireh. But it's really, the best pronunciation is Yahweh Yireh. Yireh means provider. Yahweh Yireh. Lord, You are my provider. Now, those of you, we prayed for some today that are lacking jobs. Do you know God as Yahweh Yireh? Do you know Him as your provider? Do you know Him as the one who provides everything for you and you have faith that because this is His name, it represents His character, He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for you when you don't have a job, and then He's going to provide a job for you. Yahweh Yireh. Another one, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. Earlier in Exodus, He says to the people of Israel, He says, I am the God who heals thee. Yahweh Rapha. It literally means God healer. Healing is part of the nature of God. Another one, Yahweh Sitkanu, the Lord my righteousness. We come, and we've talked about this already, we come not by our own righteousness, not by our own merit, but we come by the righteousness God has given us through His Son. You are the Lord, my righteousness. Here's another one I thought was very interesting. Yahweh Kwana. I'm probably not pronouncing that quite right. You have a very guttural sound in Hebrew. Everybody do this. You just spoke Hebrew. It might be Yahweh Chana. It means the Lord Jealous One. Very, very interesting. Nexus 34:14, the Lord says to Moses, He says, remember to worship the Lord your God only, because the Lord, the Lord's name is jealous. We talked about the very first week. The Lord's name is jealous. He is jealous for His people. In other words, He will not tolerate you giving your devotion, giving your entire heart to someone or something else. He wants your heart. It's like a marriage. He has a relationship with us, and He wants us to worship Him only. There's lots of names, and that's just a sampling of it. If you want to get to know God better, you have to go through the Scriptures and read them and see how God reveals Himself so that you can get to know Him. And when you get to know God's names and you glorify Him on a daily basis, there are enormous benefits for your life. You get to know God. You know His fullness and His character, His reputation. Psalm 116 sums it up as well. Matt Lance is going to read that for us. Psalm 116, verse 17.
I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord.
Read again, Matt.
I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord.
In the Old Testament, this is one of their aspects of worship. They sacrificed a thank offering. Now, we don't do that here. You know, please don't come in and bring a chicken up to the front and, you know, offer that, you know, to me, or we don't do it that way. Okay? In the New Testament, we worship through Jesus Christ. And how do we sacrifice a thank offering? Through our lips. The fruit of our lips that give Him praise. But we do sacrifice our lives to Him. Our lives, we're called, Romans 12:1, to give our entire lives as a sacrifice to Him. Are you calling on the name of the Lord? Are you glorifying His name? Are you worshiping Him and making His name full of glory? That's what He calls us to do. Glorify His name continually. That's the proper way to use His name. Yahweh, the Lord my God, and you fill in the name of God that means so much to you, that is relating to where you're at. I will sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord and call upon His name. So we glorify the Lord. Number two, we represent God's name clearly. Represent God's name clearly. It's one thing to speak God's name and speak it properly, which we are called to do. But there are other things that the Scripture calls us to. Colossians 3:17, Luke Glasgow is going to read that for us.
In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Amen. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we represent God's name and His character, His authority, by what we say, but also how we live. The truth is that there are people all around us watching us and evaluating not only our speech, but our actions, checking us out to see if we're any different. You know, they're kind of looking, watching, to see if our lives are any different because we claim to be Christians. We claim to follow Jesus Christ and be His people. They want to know. Here's what they want to know. If you're following Christ and you claim, you know, He loves you and His power is in your life and He's forgiven you and He's given you the ability and the power to overcome sin in your life, they want to see it. They want to see it. They want to know it's just more than a bunch of talk. And so the way you live your life is also proclaiming and representing God. Our lifestyle can misuse the name of God. You can call yourself a Christian, and then you need to act like one. Walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Don't drag Christ's name into the gutter by your speech or your lifestyle. You know what, folks? It'd be better off if you're going to do that. Don't call yourself a Christian. I'm dead serious about this. If you are going to follow Christ, yet you're going to persist in knowing and doing those things that you absolutely know are wrong, and basically saying, you know, I really don't care. Don't call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a seeker. You know, I'm trying to seek God. And you know, a Christian is one who follows God, who obeys the Scripture. Now, we don't obey perfectly because we're fallen, and we obey Him in the strength that He provides through Christ. I'm not talking about perfection here, but I'm talking about an attitude and a motivation of the heart. You see, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, we have to walk worthy. Your walk needs to match our talk. If you're a believer, you represent God. You represent His character. You represent His authority. Now, as we think about those around us that watch us, there's two reasons that maybe they've not become Christians. Number one, maybe they've never met a true Christian. And they've never really heard the gospel, the good news. And it's good news, by the way. Amen? Can I get more than one? It's good news. And when you represent His good news, make it good news. Well, I became a Christian, and ever since I became a Christian, my dog died, my car died, lost my house. You know, come on. Don't blame that on God. Most of the time, it's us. You can say, since I became a Christian, He has forgiven my sins. Now, I'm working through all that mess I made in my life, and God's helping me. He's walking through with me every step of the way. That's a better testimony. That's a better way. Make it good news, because that's what the gospel is. Or a second reason that a person maybe doesn't become a Christian is because they meet a person who's a Christian in name only. They claim to be a Christian, but they don't see any difference in the lifestyle. And they say to themselves, you know, if this Jesus is so important in this person's life, why don't I see any difference? They're just like me. There's nothing different. You know, I don't need to be a Christian because, in fact, I might be living better than they are. You know, if you claim to be a Christian, a believer, then you need to use God's name properly and you need to live a life that represents His name properly. Because if you don't, you're a bad advertisement. You're not representing them rightly. Now again, we all fail, we all fall. But here's the second step of that. If you do, then you need to make it right. What a tremendous testimony that if you fail, you mess up in front of unbelievers, to humble yourself and go back to them and say, you know what, I really blew it. I really failed, and I'm ask you to forgive me. I've confessed that to God, and now I'm asking you as well to forgive me. What a difference that would make. Amen? What a difference that would make in the evangelical Hollywood celebrity world that we live in. Instead of going out and, when I was a kid, I was, you know, treated terribly, and that's all the reason and the fault for it. No. I'm sorry. All of us have had difficult things in our lives. Some of us have had horrible things in our upbringing. But every one of us has a choice, and we must choose to obey the Lord and take responsibility, not passing the buck. Not saying, you know, I did this because, oh no. I take responsibility. And so we must represent God's name, because God is going to hold us accountable. We represent His name, and watch this. You may be, listen, you all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
A few more minutes. You may be the only Jesus that people will ever see. You know, there's some people, they're just not going to come in to a church service like this. You know, Christians have got such a bad rap, and they think to themselves, all Christians do is condemn and hate, and I don't need any more of that, so I'm not coming to church. All those Christians down there, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you know what? We are. We are. Because we can't quite live out perfectly the life that we're proclaiming. But that doesn't make us hypocrites. In that sense, what we are is needy. We're dependent on the Lord. But we don't always kind of represent it that way, do we? We have to represent it that we are, as I believe it was Billy Graham that said, we are beggars who have found bread, and now we simply tell others where they can find bread too. Right? We're beggars. We have found bread, the bread of life. And now we tell other beggars where they can too find bread as well. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. 2 Timothy 2:19. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We must turn away from it. And the Lord knows this. The Lord knows that you may be the only Jesus that someone is going to see. You may be the only sermon that they're ever going to hear. You represent Him to a watching world. And so the Lord knows this and wants you to represent Him rightly, not only in your speech, but in your actions, your life. So guard our mouths. Guard our actions. Amen? Let's represent Him clearly. Amen? Let's not only talk the talk, but let's walk the walk. Amen. Number 3, and we'll finish with this. We not only glorify His name continually, we represent Him clearly. Number 3, we rely on His name completely. We rely on His name completely. I already mentioned Psalm 9, verse 10, says, those who know Your name will trust in You. For You, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek You. Those who know Your name will trust in You. For You, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek You. There are thousands of verses in the Bible that talk about that God has made promises to honor His name. And He goes on to say that whatever we do it in the name of the Lord, trusting and relying on His name. Jesus said this, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now, just mention this for a moment, because there are several verses in the Bible that can easily be taken advantage of, easily be manipulated and abused. Jesus said this very clearly. He said, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it for you. Right? Oh, but there's some caveats in there. You back up to John chapter 15. If you abide in Me, and My Word abides in you, ask what you will, and it will be done for you. You see, it's not just a formula that you can go out and claim whatever you want, you know, because it represents God's name. We said it earlier. His name represents His reputation, His character, and His authority. So you can't expect to go out and in the name of Jesus claim, oh, God, you know, I claim that You're going to bring me a Ferrari today. Now, it may be that someone, you know, can save up and buy a Ferrari. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't use God as a genie. You know? And certainly do not ask the Lord for that which is immoral or illegal or unethical. Don't drag God's name into that. In other words, don't try to pray for something in Jesus' name, which you know is wrong. You know, I've heard people do that. And you know, it's not right. So when you ask in Jesus' name, it's because you're abiding in His Word. And God changes your heart. When His Word abides in you and you're abiding in His Word, He changes your heart. You're going to pray for those things that you know will glorify God. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, because we don't have any right to come to God on our own. We don't have any authority to come to God into His presence. I don't have a right on my own just to come to God and say, God, this is what I need and I'm requesting that You grant this. No, not on my own. But through Christ, I can. I come because of His authority. I become because of His righteousness. He's the bridge. And Jesus said we are to pray in His name. It's a reminder that we are dependent. And we don't come on our own power. We come on His power, His authority, His grace. You remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to who? Him. And then He says, therefore go and make disciples. So when you pray in Jesus' name, and He says, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it, it's representing His nature, His character, His reputation, and His authority. Therefore, it will affect the way you pray. But you can pray with authority in Jesus' name. That's why when we pray here and on Wednesday night, we pray for certain people to be healed. We pray for people to be saved. We pray for problems and issues. We pray in the name of Jesus, not on our own strength, but on Jesus' strength and Jesus' authority, because He has the authority to enable it, to effect it, to bring about change, to draw people to Himself. I've heard people say, well, you know, I lived 20 years of my life, you know, as an unbeliever, and then I found the Lord. No, you didn't. The Lord found you. Now, I understand what we're saying, you know. We became a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, someone was praying for you. Someone was praying that God's Holy Spirit would draw you by the authority of Christ and touch your heart and show you your need for Christ. Do you know that? We can't even find our need for Christ in ourselves. John chapter 6, Jesus says, unless someone is drawn by the Holy Spirit, you can't even come to the Father. Because you won't even see your need. You know, most of us say, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm certainly better than the person next to me. You know, we think pretty highly of ourselves. But it's only God through His Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus, who speaks to our heart and shows us, convicts us of our need for a Savior. So we need to be careful how we speak His name. We need to be careful that we represent His name the way we live. And number 3, rely on His name. Have faith in His name, because His name has all authority in heaven and earth. We end with Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ is the name that we bypass judgment. We bypass death to life, from judgment to forgiveness. And that's what we need. Amen? All of us need a Savior. And God will do wonderful, awesome things in our life if we will glorify His name and represent His name rightly and trust, pray, live according to the power and the authority in the name of God. He's given His name to His Son, Jesus Christ. And there is no other name. No other name given by which we must be saved. So this morning, as we close, are you glorifying His name? Are you representing His name rightly? And are you trusting? Are you really, truly trusting in the name of Christ? The authority, the reputation, the character. I'm going to ask the worship team would come, and let's just close in a worship song as we pray. You come as we pray, worship team, and lead us. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You've revealed Your name to us. You haven't hidden Yourself from us. You're not a God that hides, but You revealed Yourself and shown us who You are. And You sent Your Son. We thank You, Father, further to us for revealing what You desire for us, Lord. Revealing how You want to forgive us and restore that relationship and enable us to trust You and live in You, Lord. I ask that each one of us, Lord, would recommit our hearts this morning to follow You. In Jesus' name, let's stand and proclaim this together.
Worthy, You are worthy,
yes.
King of kings, Lord of lords.
aisle to open the altar this morning, and if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to invite you to come. If you need to recommit your life, if you're dealing with an issue that God's speaking with this morning and He's calling you forward, you come. The altar is always open here. I just wanted to make that special invitation. We're going to sing this to close the service, and we want to invite all, if you have any prayer need at all, we'd love to pray with you. For any reason at all, we'd love to pray with you at the close of the service. Let's sing and proclaim His name. Amen.
Worthy, You are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, You are worthy, worthy, You are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship You.
Proclaim Your name. May we rely upon Your name, Lord. May we glorify Your name. The name above all names. So worthy. So holy. Lord, we love You. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you all. Come forward if you need prayer.